Okay, so this evening I want to speak to you about walking in the Spirit. To give you a bit of a background, about a month and a half ago, I can't remember, I spoke of Pentecost, the birthplace of the church, and I sort of want to continue on from where I left it off. Fred ministered on Call to Bless last week, and the two Sundays before that, I ministered on the door. Specifically, I ministered on shame, and I'm dealing with shame, and I ministered on discipline or chastisement and how God relates to us. Now, this message this evening, I'm really sorry there's not the rest of the whole world is here, because it would have, I believe, would bless them. I'm going to share some stuff with you that has really, really changed my life in terms of things that I learned that helped me to stay on track. And so often we stop just one step back. We stop at basically what I ministered on Pentecost Sunday. We stop at Pentecost, but they're supposed to be the next step as to, God, how have you called us to walk this road? Okay, so Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, that is the birthplace of the church. That's what I ministered on about 6 weeks ago. It was the birthplace of the church. A new era dawned. Things changed. You can keep it on the previous one for now. And things changed as the church, a new body, was birthed onto this earth. And it was different from anything we've ever seen in the history of the world. Different from anything we saw in the Old Testament. It was something new. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. It said there will come a day. But people didn't really know what it would be like. And then as we read that scripture in Acts 2, verses 16 to 17, it says, but this was Peter. He was preaching to thousands of people after the outpouring of the Spirit. And he said, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. All flesh, anybody who wants it. I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. It's a shall. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And there was a beautiful about the people that came to share here this evening. They saw pictures in their mind's eye, but they could discern that this is probably God, the Holy Spirit, speaking to them and wanting them to share it with the body of Christ. And that is so beautiful, because the scriptures say that when we come together, each one bring a word, each one come and minister. It isn't just the pastor that is supposed to be ministering, each and every one. Imagine that dynamic. I love it when people come and they share what God has revealed to them, and I've often seen their lives are transformed. But that is the New Testament church. That is what it's supposed to be, and we're just growing into it. I'm setting my eyes on the horizon, saying, God, take us where you have called us to. But you see, if you want to define something, say a leopard, you'd say a leopard has spots. If you find a leopard without spots, it's probably not a leopard, okay? And it's the same with the church. God said, my church, this is what you'll find. There will be visions, there will be dreams, there will be prophecies. Otherwise, it's not really what I've wanted it to be. It's not really what I've called it to be. Okay, so that's what I want to talk about. And then specifically the spirit realm, when we talk about walking in the Spirit, so few of us understand what it means. If I would now ask each one of us, okay, walking in the Spirit, what does it mean? I don't know. But it's in the Bible, but what does it mean? And I found that so many of us don't know what it actually means, and therefore we're unable to walk in the Spirit because we don't know what it is. And I've been really blessed that I feel that Holy Spirit is teaching me little steps of what does it mean to walk in the Spirit. Okay, so there's a few scriptures. Galatians 5:25. Walking in the Spirit. It says in Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Huh? Live, walk. Is there a difference? I believe there is. Because you can start off in the Spirit. And at our, I'm trying to say Pentecost seminar, it's perspective seminar. We talk about starting a life in the Spirit. We talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and in a sense, then stepping into that place that you are now living in the Spirit. And so many people do that. They get filled with the Spirit. They start living in the Spirit, but they don't walk in the Spirit. Or they walk a little bit in the Spirit and they don't. I'll explain. Galatians 5:25 in the New Living Translation. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us also follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. In every part of our lives. On Monday evening, we were praying, and I saw this. I felt I should be ministering on walking in the Spirit, but I was thinking, God, I don't know what that means in a certain extent. But God is so faithful, because while we were praying, I saw a picture. I saw a picture of somebody walking on the ground and then coming to a huge mass of water. And then this person stepped onto the water and started to walk on the water. And then I felt the Holy Spirit telling me, now that is walking in the Spirit. Every step is a miracle. Every step is significant. It looks so normal. I mean, it's walking. I'm just walking. But if you think about it, you're not supposed to be doing that. You're not supposed to be walking on water. But that is walking in the Spirit. And it's like every step, and that's what I feel like a promise in my heart for me, but also for us as a church, is that God has called us to that. That every step, everything you do is like a miracle. Because the grace of God covers you. You're just doing a normal human little step, but there's something catching you there. And you give another little step, and there's something supernatural catching you there. And then you give another little step, and it's just working. It's just working. Everything you're doing is working. And I believe that is walking in the Spirit. And that's what I've been experiencing the last 6 months in this church. Everything's working. It's just wonderful. It's just amazing. Every little thing, God just blesses it. And that confirms to me that we are walking in the Spirit. Everything you do works. Even the hard times. Even the difficult times. Even when your wheels are supposed to be coming off. Everybody's saying, I can't believe you're still standing. And you've got peace in your heart. You've got joy on the inside. Despite your circumstances, because you're walking in the Spirit. You're walking in the Spirit. You're walking in the Spirit. It was so with Samuel. 1 Samuel 3:19. It says that, so Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. He let none of his words sink. Samuel was walking in the Spirit. His words didn't sink. He was walking on water. But if you're walking in the flesh, let me give this to you. About 5 years ago, I've been serving God for, at that time, for 6-7 years, and I was going for it. We were having amazing times. I was a student pastor in our church at Tigerberg, and I mean, miracles were happening. There was serious, there was real special stuff happening every now and again. And then at the same time, there was real, real big super mess-ups happening every now and again as well. I would miss God completely. You know, it's like running at full speed against a wall. Kapur. Ow. And that happened to me every now and again. And I was like frustrated. I'm saying, God, you've not called me. I go to Scripture and I see all these promises. I see all these things you want us to do. But for some reason, I'm not breaking through. For some reason, I'm missing you. And then the one evening, it was two things that happened. Where I believe God revealed something to me through His Spirit to reveal what it means to walk in the flesh and what it means to walk in the spirit. Okay, so basically what happened was the Friday evening, my wife, Sonica, she had a dream. And yeah, sometimes we have dreams. Not all dreams are of God, but sometimes, you know, it's a significant one. And she, in this dream, she saw me. No, she didn't see me. She saw somebody else. She saw a boxing ring in the middle of a big venue, with people around. And in this boxing ring, she saw a big guy, huge guy, like boxing, like punching, like intimidating. Nobody wanted to get into the ring with him because he was so intimidating. And then she says, at some stage, she saw me diving in, like through the ropes, like a deck roll. I dive in and I come up there and I'm in it and I'm going for it. I'm hitting him and I'm kicking. I'm giving it my best. And at some stage, this guy turns around and he clubs me. Pata. And I'm out. I'm out of the boxing ring. I'm lying three rows back. And my wife comes and she put salve and things on me because I'm now totally kapur. I'm wounded. And I'm out. Now, she shares this with me the next morning. I'm thinking, but that's how I feel. You know, I've a relationship with God. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm supposed to be operating in the power of God. And sometimes I do, but sometimes I totally miss it. And it's like, I get, bah. And on the Sunday morning, we had a perspective seminar. We were praying for people for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And people were being filled with the Spirit and their lives were turning around. And then a lady came to me who'd been serving God for quite some time. And she says that while I was praying for the people, she saw a picture, a vision, but a picture in her mind's eye that she believes is from God. In this picture, she saw me and my wife standing under a waterfall with looking up, hands raised, just standing under the waterfall. And she says outside of the waterfall, she saw a man bound in chains. And she says that as we just stood there under the waterfall, she says the chains broke over this man and he joined us in the waterfall. And so I just knew that these two pictures are connected and it changed my life. It completely changed my life when I realized what these two things mean. And it wasn't anything new. If you go read it in the scriptures, you find it there over and over and over. But I never understood it. But God somehow revealed it to me as he did with Peter. Peter was on the roof and then God let down this thing, this animals on a tablecloth type of thing. And God revealed to him a truth that was already in Scripture. Okay, so that's basically what I'm talking about. And then maybe we can put this on there. It's a diagram. Next one. There we go. Okay, so spirit or flesh? That is the question. On the one side, you have the boxing ring of the flesh. That is where our enemy operates. The devil operates on that. He's the king of the flesh. Anything that is earthly, anything that is selfish, anything that is wicked or whatever, just earthly stuff, it's there. He is the king of the boxing ring. So if you take him on in the flesh, he'll clobber you because he's the king. You cannot beat him in the flesh. On the other side, we have the waterfall of the Spirit. The scriptures are full of it, speaking of the Holy Spirit being a river, being coming forth from the very throne of God in Revelation 19. It speaks of that, Revelation 20. It says waterfall of the Spirit. Okay, now there's two different things. On the one side, in the waterfall of the Spirit, you're focused on God. You're just worshiping him. Boxing ring of the flesh, you're distracted. You're fighting with the enemy. You're focusing on other stuff. God isn't close. Next one, God's ability. And in the waterfall of the Spirit, it is God that sets free those that are in bondage. Success is inevitable because God is fighting for you. Another one, it's your own ability. You are trying. I've seen this in churches. You try to get people to come to church, or you try to convince them to give their lives to God. It doesn't work because you're in the flesh. You're trying to manipulate. It doesn't work, or the success will only be short-lived. own ability. Failure is inevitable. You get tired, you get moch, you get depressed. It's not going to work. Waterfall of the Spirit, safe place. You're untouchable. The enemy can't touch you. The other one, you're vulnerable. You're open to the enemy to attack you. A waterfall of the Spirit, God fights the battle for you. Boxing ring of the flesh, we fight our own battles. And that's what's been so amazing to me the last 6 months. I'm experiencing that. I'm just experiencing the goodness. I'm not working hard. I'm not struggling. I'm not striving. And God is changing lives because it's God. It's not a man. But if we move over there, that's when the action and the struggles start. Okay, so the next scripture, Galatians 5, 17 to 18. It says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit. We always want to go back to the flesh. We run back to the boxing ring of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You're not under those old things that keep you back and keep you down. Many start in the Spirit. Most end in the flesh. Many start in the Spirit. Most end in the flesh. This is when people get hurt, especially in church groups like ours, when it comes to the things of the Spirit. When people move into the flesh concerning the gifts of the Spirit and the things of the Spirit, that's when people get hurt. That's when people get offended. That's when people say, uh-uh. I want nothing to do with these things of the Spirit. It doesn't work. Or see, I got hurt. Or whatever, but because it was being operating in the flesh. And so I got this picture of the walking on the water. So it's like every step is a miracle. And then I went to this scripture, and I'm going to break down five things, the W's, five W's of walking in the Spirit. Matthew 14, 28 to 32. Jesus went to he went to the mountain to pray. The disciples got into the boat, and they were rowing, and so they started to struggle in the night. And then Jesus comes walking on the water. And I believe it's a picture for us of walking in the Spirit, what ensues. So look at this. They see it's Jesus. First they're afraid, they think ghost, and then they say, no, Jesus, no, it's me, don't worry. And then Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come. That's a funny thing to say. If it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Interesting. Then Jesus said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And then it says, next one. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Okay, I'm going to use this. I'm going to break it down in five W's, the five W's of walking in the Spirit. The first one, want. Look at at verse 28. It said there, Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you. There were lots of disciples in the boat. There were probably 12 at least. Only one said, Jesus, I want to walk on the water. I want to come out. Jesus, tell me to come, please. I want it. And I believe that's the first step for walking in the Spirit. You need to want it. On the one level, it speaks of the spiritual gifts. On another level, it speaks of the desire for the presence of God. But look at the scripture, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. It says, pursue love, which is always the context of any form of the gift of the Spirit, and desire spiritual gifts. Desire. Can you say that? Desire. Can you say want? Say, I want it. I want it. Okay, so the scriptures is like a command. It says desire spiritual gifts. But be clear, like Peter, Jesus, I want to walk on the water. I want to step into the supernatural. God never gives anything to anybody if you don't want it. So you need to ask. You need to spend time in prayer. You need not earn it. You just need to say, I want it. I want it. I see it in Scripture, Lord. I want it. Some just sit in the boat and they never experience it because they've never desired it. Is it a risk to step out of the boat and onto the water? Is it a risk? Definitely. As I said about a month ago, another picture of the Holy Spirit is fire. Playing with fire, is that dangerous? Definitely. But if you find yourself in the Arctic, in a little house, and there's no heat, would you take the risk of playing with a bit of fire to heat up the place? You could burn down the place, true, but you'll die in any case. And our current climate, spiritual climate in this earth is cold, cool, dead. You need some fire. So many of our churches are cold because the fire of God isn't there. The presence of God isn't there. The Spirit of God isn't operating in the way that God wants it to. And it takes humility to ask. It takes humility for Peter to say, Jesus, please call me forth. I want to come. It takes humility to ask. But we need to ask. Okay, so that's the first one. You need to want it. Second one, you need a word if you want to walk in the Spirit. Peter said, Jesus, tell me to come. And then Jesus said, come. Peter somehow knew. Peter somehow knew that if he can just get Jesus to say it, we've got to have some action here today. We're going to walk. If Jesus says, come, I'm going to come. He had a revelation of when God speaks, when God says, it is. It is. But think about it. We're going to later come at the whole thing of prophecy. But what is prophecy? I mean, Jesus, what could be better than having Jesus with us right now in the flesh? Duh. What could be better? I mean, he could speak his word to you. He can call you over the waters. We can go walk over the dam, all of us. Yay, lekker, lekker. Okay. I mean, it'd be amazing to have Jesus with us in the flesh. Yet Jesus said, it is better for me to go away. Now, if he says it is better to go away, there must be a reason for it. Because he knows that now through his Holy Spirit, when a prophecy, when a word is spoken, like the people came to share here tonight, when they say, I have this impression, I have this picture that I feel is from the Holy Spirit, it is as good as if Jesus got up here and said it. But so we lack faith, and so it isn't quite as it should be. But now Jesus can step into every church all over the world right now through his Holy Spirit. Through his Holy Spirit. It is so critical. Okay, so the word, 2 Corinthians 3 verses 5 to 6. The Apostle Paul saying, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. We are trusting in God to enable us, to empower us. He has made us sufficient, who has made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. And then look at this, this is powerful. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. As I said previously, this is the most dangerous book in the whole world. The most dangerous book in the whole world. If somebody in the flesh uses it. It can be used to manipulate. It can be used to oppress. It can be used to condemn and give heavy burdens to people. It can cause people to lose their salvation and turn away from God. It can be used to keep people away from God. The Pharisees did that. He told them, you guys, you are closing the door for people to come to me because they were abusing the Word of God. It was the letter, but it wasn't by the Spirit. And that's why prophecy is so powerful. It is the Word made alive for you right now. I mean, there's so many scriptures in the Bible. For instance, there are scriptures that you, if you go read there in the prophets, you could be really feel, you can really feel bad. I mean, you this and you that and you this and you that. And then there are other scriptures that are wonderful blessings and wonderful promises. But if you give the wrong one to the wrong person at the wrong time, it could really hurt. It could really offend. If somebody believes God Almighty hates me. I mean, some of the scriptures could make it sound like it. But then there are scriptures that brings correction. And if it's brought at the right time, at the right moment, when somebody is veering off, that correction could save their lives forever. But the question is it life? Or does it bring life or death? And for that, you need the Holy Spirit to show you which one is it now. Okay, and I got this one, and this is for Foden and all other surfers in the house. I was praying for a young man, and I saw a picture of like waves. You see, and there's unbelievable power in waves if you're able to harness it. And I believe it's another picture of the Holy Spirit. If you could get on a surfboard and you learn how to use the surfboard and you practice your upper body a little bit, then you can harness that wave and it can take you places. Now that is the power of the Spirit. But what is that board? I was praying for this young man. The Holy Spirit showed me the board is the Word of God. If you have a quality Spirit-led relationship with the Word of God, it's like having a nice big board. Like, I mean, you can almost do hang ten on it. You can put your toes over and this is lekker. Okay? But then some of us, we have like little board. And I go, try and surf on a little board. Is that going to be wipe out? It's not going to work. So you need the Word of God in your life. You need the command. If you know that God is saying, come, you know you can walk on water. The miraculous will be, the grace of God will be, that the power of God will be, that the provision of God will be there. If you get the Word, the command from God saying, come. Stepping without a word, stepping out without having that word, you'll wipe out, you'll be in trouble, you'll be presumptuous. I'm going to walk on water today. Not. Okay? So you need to step out with the word. And I found this in my life. It's like this word I receive now. And I feel God is saying, every step will be a miracle because of His grace. Okay, that's the second one. Third one. I already touched on it. You need to wait for the Word. And this is where we Western believers completely miss it. We want Kentucky Fried Chicken and McDonald's stuff. We want it now. We don't want to wait for it. We don't want to seek the face of God for His command. We don't want to sit in the little boat and, no, I'm going to step out. Yay. And then you wipe out and you said, but I mean, what is this? It doesn't work. You sank like a rock. Anybody ever experienced that? Sinking like a rock? Both hands. Sank like a rock. Because I didn't wait for the word to be spoken, or I just got my timing wrong. I once got this impression, again, explaining the whole thing of waiting. Imagine going to a train station going from East London to Joburg, okay? And you go into the train station and you stop. Wait for the train. Train doesn't come. Stuff this. I'm walking. That's what we do. That's what we do. We come and we stand. Where's the train? It's already 2 minutes. Where's the train? And then we walk in the flesh all the way to Joburg, and we wonder why we're not getting results. We wonder why things aren't working. We wonder why God isn't appearing, because you've missed the train that was supposed to pick you up and take you to Joburg. And you didn't have to even sweat. But so many Christians are sweating. It's so hard. It's so tough. Oh, I hear this often, pastors. The biggest devils are always in their town. You speak to the pastors all over South Africa, and you say, oh, you must see the demons there at our place, man. It's hard. It's like hard. It's like nothing's working. What did the gospel say? Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. That means Jesus already made provision for the whole world. Doesn't matter how big the devil in that area is. God has made provision. But we don't walk in the Spirit, and therefore we don't experience the blessings of God. We need to wait. For instance, middle last year, I was at Stellenbosch, and I received a word in my heart before we knew that we were coming here. And I felt God telling me, get involved with the youth. They need you there. I think, wonderful, great, yeah, I come, let's go. So I storm in there and I take over everything, sort of, and which I shouldn't have, and I'm going for it, you know. And then I realized this isn't working. This isn't really working. It doesn't feel right. And then we suddenly, Lord, then 3 months later, the Lord told us, no, you're coming to East London. And then when I came here, the God opened a door for us at Selborne College. And then there's just young people, young people, young people. And I just know this is what I received the word for back then. Get involved with the youth. Because God wanted me to, when the gap comes, I had to take it. Okay, so the waiting thing. Psalm 62, verses 5 to 8. It says, my soul, wait silently for God alone. For my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. But a few places in that passage says, wait. In that psalm, it says, wait upon the Lord. There's about 20. You should go do a check for all the places. It says, wait, 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 wait. God is saying, wait for me. You're running ahead. I mean, that's how it often works. If the devil can't stop you, he gets you running too fast, and then you trip over your own feet. He pushes you from behind. Go, 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 go. Do more, do more, do more. Go to more houses. Oh, God is with you. Yes, go do more. Take more onto your plate and more onto your plate, and then you burn out. This isn't of God. No, you were just in the flesh. You should know. Oh, eh, stop. That's enough. No, no, no. That's enough, etc., etc. This is so important. And what I found is that there are two ways that God helps us. I call it the peace monitor. This has changed my life. It is something on the inside of you. If you spend time with God, if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and you come to that place where that connection happens, there's something about the peace monitor in your heart. And what happens is, if you are walking on a road, and then you want to go that way suddenly, and so you start turning that way, your peace monitor will tell you, no, stop. But the important thing is, you need to first find that peace. It's not a human peace. It's not a natural peace. It is a supernatural peace. You know, you're connected. That's why every day of the week, I spend time with God. Every morning, I spend time with God. Because I'm out of peace when I get up, maybe. But the moment I spend time, I can feel, okay, connected. Ek en hy, connected. And now I know that if I'm walking in this day, I can know if I'm driving my car, I'm going to hear the voice of God saying, don't go down that road, there's an accident, go that way. And those things happen. But you need to get connected for it to work. You can't just go wait somewhere and watch TV. You need to get connected. For instance, a few years ago, we came to an orphanage here in East London, about 4 years ago. with a missions team. And we, in the day, we had these teams of students working at this orphanage, playing with the children. And in the one day, I was there. Shouldn't have been there, but I was there. And then there was this little boy that I could pick up some spiritual problems in this child. So I went to the leader, the man that owns the place, and I went to him and I asked him, can we please pray for this child? And he said, go for it. So we prayed for the boy, but we didn't really get breakthrough in a sense. Long story. But when the woman, when she found out about us having prayed for this child, she was very upset. And we found out that she sort of runs the roost. She sits on her husband's head or something. I don't know. But she told us, don't come back. We're not interested in you anymore. And we were just over next door to Lavender Bloom. I was upset because we wanted to have a long-term relationship with these people. And so I said, okay, guys, so I'm starting to make plans. Okay, guys, it's as follows. I'm going to go to the woman. I'm going to talk. We're going to win her over. And then we're going to come in and do like an outreach there and minister to all the staff. And so I was making plans. And suddenly I just lost my peace. I just had this check. I'm making a fleshly plan here. I'm scheming now. I'm trying to sort this out in flesh. So I told the whole team, 27 of us, guys, stop right now. We pray now. And we don't stop praying until I've my peace monitor back connected. So we prayed, and then the Lord showed us, like somebody saw a picture of this house where the orphanage was at. And the roots were like corrupted. They could see this picture of above, everything looks fine. But below in the roots, it doesn't look good, like fraught. It's like corrupted. And then I felt the Holy Spirit telling me, leave it. The place is corrupted. I will expose it. But you guys go on into town and you go do what you need to do, the outreaches in the town. But leave it to me. And so I left it. I got my peace back and we went on. About 2 years later, we found out in the newspapers there was an orphanage shut down. I don't know if you guys know about it, but there's an orphanage around the corner that was shut down because of some, I don't know the details, some form of corruption or whatever. I don't know the details. But so the Lord said, I'm going to expose it. You leave it to me. Now, that's a good example. That's a good example of being led by the Spirit. I could have gone there in the flesh. I could have tried to sort things out, but it wasn't the will of God. God wanted to expose them. Okay, does it make sense? Okay, I hope so. Not a lot of head shaking in the positive direction. Okay, so your peace monitor is important. Second one, conviction. How do you stay in the Spirit? It's when you said something or did something that you suddenly feel, shouldn't have said it. Shouldn't have done it. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes to you saying, you're moving into the flesh. Stop it. And then you must say, God, forgive me. And you come back again and you walk on in the Spirit. And again, same one here, the interpretation of the word. So often we receive a scripture or an impression, but we assume the wrong things. We assume that we understand the word. And actually, we should pray until clarity comes. Okay, great. That's the wait one. So it's want, then the word, then wait. I just love, don't you love these W thingies? I love it. Okay, it's just me. Walk. The fourth one is walk. You have now asked. You have received the command. You've waited for the command to come. And you have waited for the right timing. You realize it is time to get out of the boat. Now you need to take your gap. Now you need to take your gap. This is Linky from the Agri Market. Say, vat the gap, this is a center. Machine. Long story. But you need to, when the window of opportunity comes, you need to step through it. For instance, just again, example for us coming to East London. Sonika was pregnant 5-6 months, worst time in 70 years to sell your house, etc., etc., etc. There were about 20 reasons why we shouldn't have come. But I just felt God saying, come. Because I knew this is our window of opportunity. 6 months later would have been too late. Go now. You step, you walk, You need to walk when it's a time. That is this place of obedience. Take your gap. Go for it. Galatians 5:16. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk. You see that again? Walk. That means action. That means go for it. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And this is again what I often pick up with so many of us. We look at the Holy Spirit as this gentle little dove. So we, Zachis praat, and we must walk slowly, and I mustn't do anything that is like I shouldn't have done, because otherwise we'll fly away. Or something. So we're so afraid to step out. We're so afraid. You're standing, you're worshiping, you have an impression. You don't know if this is God or not. Come and share it. Come and share it with me. I'll tell you, hey, that's cool. Go for it. But so often we hold back. So often we don't take that step. Or maybe you somewhere in the streets or at work and you have an impression in your heart. Talk to that person. And then you, no, maybe it's not God. Well, even if it's not God, it's when you act that you actually learn what is God and what is not God. But you need to act. So many Christians just sit in church. We should act. It's a blessing when we act. Okay. And that's how we need to deal with the fear and just go for it. And then the way we walk. Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 3. And I've often found this is another area where we miss it. Because we think of a word from God or something, and now we storm ahead. And in the process, we offend half of the world. Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy. Can you say worthy? Worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering. Bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So it speaks of not just walking like a bull in a china shop. I've got a word from God, so get out of my way, man. You know, some Christians do that. It's so offensive. And half of the world is offended with you because the way that you did it was just plain off. It's just wrong. It says they walk worthy. In other words, do it with lowliness, with gentleness, with humility. Don't do it at the expense of the unity of the brethren. Do it in a way that honors God. Do it in a way that, and it's something we need to learn. Another test for us, if we're walking in the Spirit, the one is to walk in that lowliness and gentleness. The other one is Galatians 5:22. Another test for you and me to determine if we are walking in the Spirit or not. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And all of us can do some of these things when it's going well. The question is, does this manifest when the opposite should be manifesting? In other words, do you love somebody when actually they deserve you to hate them? Do you have joy in the middle of difficult circumstances? Peace when you shouldn't be having peace? Patience when the people are really testing your patience and you shouldn't be patient? Kind when you shouldn't be, etc., etc. That is the test, because it is not a personality thing. It is a supernatural thing that kicks into you and you're just nice. I've been experiencing this. With a few people, I said this at perspective or community seminar. You know, every now and again, somebody comes to church and you won't say it, but you think it. I hope they go to another church. And it rarely happens. And no, nobody in this house at this moment, so don't worry. But just sometimes you think, I think it would be better if they go somewhere else. And then it's just amazing when the Holy Spirit kicks in and you say, no, I'm going to fight for them. I'm going to fight with them. I'm going to stand with them till breakthrough. And we've seen it. the last 6 months, our lives have turned around. When you didn't think, inrichting slate to buy. They turned by the power and the grace of God. Again, that's a test. Are you walking in the Spirit? Okay, last one. The last one is warfare. Let me explain. While Peter was walking on the water, he suddenly looked away from Jesus and he saw the waves. He saw the challenges and he got scared. And so he sunk. He sunk into the water and cried out for help. You see, when you are walking in the Spirit and the miraculous is starting to happen, you could think, hey, wow, look at that. I'm walking on water. You're distracted. Because the miracles of God, when God starts moving, it sort of causes one to want to look away, to look at what God is doing, to look at maybe just the things around you. Maybe there's just circumstances that's coming against you. I found this. So often I'm walking in the Spirit. It's going great. You know what happens then? Somebody that you never expected would says or does something to you that gets you so in the flesh. It was as if you've always been there in the flesh. You're just offended. You are hurt. You are angry. You or whatever. It can go both ways. One way, offense, bitterness, anger, etc. And the other side, wow, God, miracles. Who's the man? And you forget about walking and keeping your eyes on Jesus. And so you sink. And when you start sinking, guess what happens? Then you call out again. Lord, I'm in the flesh. Help me. And what I realize is what God is wanting to do in our lives and in this church, it will come to this point where we are walking on water and there's going to be stuff happening all over the show. Every side, wanting to draw our attention away. And I just feel God is saying, you keep your eyes on me. Leave the rest up to me. The big stuff, that's God's. You, little stuff, spend time with the Lord. Be faithful, be humble, keep your eyes on Jesus. That is the key. But I don't know. I don't know if we will do differently. But you find these things, if you've heard of, there's some form of move of God happening somewhere in the world. Man, and we've got books and newspapers and we've got TV channels and we've got da. I remember this one guy, I think it was Rick Joyner. He said the one time in one of their meetings, they were worshiping for like 8 hours. And he says just when the videotapes were over, there weren't enough videotapes and the video cameras anymore. He says at that moment, he says they saw, his eyes was closed and he says he felt like a heat on the stage. And he says, then he looked around and he saw the worship leader like on fire, some of feeling like fire, and the worship leader like stage dive off the stage. And then the next one dive off as well. And they saw like a glory cloud, like the very presence of God with found within a cloud moving over the stage. And like everybody was like flat on their faces, terrified of the presence of God. And then it was away just when the videotapes were over. And he says, then they started to, the next year, they called it the Glory Cloud Conference. And he says a few years later, I feel so silly that he did that. Because the glory cloud didn't come again. Because they tried to patent it and put it in a box and control God, which you can't. So there comes a time where we need to warfare for our thoughts and for our focus. And this is very, very important. 1 Timothy 1:18. It says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you. Goodness gracious, look at the time. I'm sorry. That by them you may wage the good warfare. I'm just having fun. that by them you may wage the good warfare. The prophecies. You need to take the prophecies that God speaks of your life. Like last week, Fred prayed for some of us, and he spoke these words. You need to take these words, and you need to go do warfare. That says, do wage the good warfare. By what? The prophecies. I mean, when Len and Karen came here 5 years ago, they received the word saying, the dry bones shall live through this church. Now, that's a word that we need to take and hold before God and say, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what we feel. The word of God says, the dry bones shall live. You need to warfare, because the enemy comes for your mind. And he comes and tells you, isn't so, will never be so, this thing will fall apart, etc., etc., etc. You are not a man of God, and la, 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 and etc., etc. You all know the fears and the stuff, that the thoughts that comes to your mind. But then you need to take the prophecy, and you need to stick it in the devil's face and say, read the word of God. This is of the Lord. It will work, and Jesus will be glorified. Not because of me or you, but because he's decided it shall be. And you sort of need to make up your mind about it. Because a double-minded man will receive nothing from the Lord. So you need to take those prophecies and you need to run with it. Praise God. If I didn't look at my watch, we would still be going on. Worship team, you guys are welcome to come. I'll continue 2 weeks from now speaking on, God willing, walking in the Spirit. So I just want to summarize. The first one, you need to want it. Guys, this is where life happens. This is what is so amazing for me. I couldn't be doing what I'm doing now if it wasn't for the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life. God gives the messages to me. He tells me, well, not always, but sometimes. He tells me, go to that scripture. Or he reveals things to me. He explains scripture to me because he wrote it. But we need to desire it, saying, God, I am not satisfied with as is. I want to walk in the Spirit as your word says. I want every step to be a miracle. I believe that's a word for me and for us as a church. And for anybody else that wants it. God, I want to every step a miracle. Every step, the grace of God. Not because I've done anything, I'm just walking. But the word of God leads me forth. So you need to want it. And then you need to wait for the word of God. You need to be on your knees. You need to pray until the word comes. Get connected. Wait. Peace monitor. And then walk. When the gap comes, walk. And when you're walking, do warfare. Do not look to the left. Do not look to the right. Just see Jesus. You're going to Jesus. You're following Jesus. He said, come, God, I'm coming. I'm coming. Let's stand. Father, we bless your name. Father, we praise your name. God, we thank you that the scriptures are full of your promises. Saying, walk in the Spirit. The scriptures are full of promises, God, of your greatness, your glory, your goodness. And Lord, your heartbeat is for the whole world to come to know you, to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so you are desperate for us. You want it more than we do. You so want us. You so want us. You're saying, come. Step out of the boat. Step out of the boat. Come and walk on the water. Come and walk on the water. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for each and every one of us here. Lord, I pray you'll give us the humility and the faith to not settle for anything less than the word and the fullness of Scripture. The fullness of your Spirit. The fullness of your glory. So that Jesus Christ may be magnified. Father, Father, in the name of Jesus, speak life to every heart here, Lord God. I speak life to every mind here, every soul represented here, Lord. And we just say, come alive in Jesus' name. And walk on water. Walk in the grace and the goodness of the living God. Lord, we praise you. Lord, I pray that this word will sink in. Even as that word was shared about people feeling like a little seed, like a nothing. But God, I thank you that by prophecy, Lord God, it's designed, it's built into them to become a big tree. It brings glory to your name. And Lord, I pray that you'd remind us of every scripture, every prophecy, every word we have received over the years, that we may hold on to that and do warfare and say, I'm not giving up. I'm not turning back. Because my God has spoken. And so I'm walking. Lord, we praise your name. We praise your name. Just as every eye is closed, if you have stepped out in the past, in a sense, in a proverbial sense, you've stepped out of the boat, you've trusted God for something, but you sunk like a rock. And there's still sort of a wound in your heart. Your faith levels are low, specific in these areas of stepping out. If that is you, just raise your hand as a sign to God. Just raise your hand and saying, God, I want to start over. I want to start over. Father, we bless your name. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for those who have raised their hands. And Lord, we pray that you would reveal to them where they missed you, Lord, where their timing was out. Lord, in the name of Jesus, show them and just come and heal their hearts that they may stand up and go again. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that they will move from the boxing ring of the flesh into the rivers of living waters. In Jesus' name. Also want to ask, you can drop your hands for those who have raised their hands. If you feel like you're in the boxing ring of the flesh, you feel like you just all your own strength is just, and the enemy is clobbering you, circumstances are clobbering you. If you can relate to that, just raise your hand and say, God, I want out. I want out. I want out. Father, we worship you. Father, we exalt you. Lord, you know their circumstances, God. You know where they find themselves in that boxing ring with this enemy, Lord God, and he's hitting them apart. Lord, I thank you that you've not called them to walk there. You've not called them to live there. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that they will now get out and walk to the rivers of living waters, where they're just worshiping you, where they are safe, where they are resting in you, and you fight the battles for them. Just repeat after me, if all of us can, if you feel comfortable to do that, just repeat after me audibly and just say, Father God, Lord, I want out of the boxing ring of the flesh. Lord, I want to do it your way, not my way, and not by my own strength. Lord God, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would translate me into the river of living waters. Lord, lead me and help me to live and walk in the Spirit. God, I ask that in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that you'll birth within me a desire, a yearning to walk in the Spirit. Let it be, God. Let it be, Lord. In Jesus' name. I'm just going to pray for you guys. Father, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you'll take each one of us by the hand and lead us back. Or even if we have never been in the Spirit, if we have never been filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that you'll take us there. Take each and every one of them there in the name of Jesus. Can the laptop, Jonathan, can you put on the screen that image at the beginning of the PowerPoint, the three phases, the three pictures of fire? Just want to, as a recap, just show this. If you do not know God, in other words, if you've never committed your life to Jesus, your heart will probably be over here, corrupted. You always want to run away from God and from the things of the Spirit. If you've committed your life to Jesus, then you've been born again. And so your spirit has been renewed. That is being born again by the Spirit. And then the next phase, which we minister about at the seminar, the first seminar, Perspective, speaks of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Spirit, which took place at Pentecost. And what I ministered about now comes after this, okay? Just to make sense. After you've come to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then you need to learn to walk in the Spirit, okay? So, last question I want to ask. If we just close our eyes just for, last time. If you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you've not been filled in the Holy Spirit, and you would want to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, please raise your hand, because I want to pray for you. If there's anybody here, you've never been prayed for the infilling of the Spirit, then you can just raise your hand right now. Just want to know if there's anybody here. Anybody? Okay. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you that you've called us to walk on water. And I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you'll lead us in this week and in the months to come to walk in the Spirit by your grace, by your goodness, and by your mercy. Lord, we honor you for that in Jesus' name. And Father, we just speak your blessing on each one here. We pray that they'll go in the joy of the Lord. In Jesus' name.